stand-up comedy shows happen at stand-up comedy clubs for various obvious reasons. They're constructed and designed in a way. There's a stage with lights on it, a mic, microphone stand, a stool, and maybe something like some curtains, something that shows where you're at, signage, lights, whatever. And there's a bunch of tables and chairs. And in your biggest concepts, there's a theater, just a shitload of chairs, much bigger stage, much higher ceilings. And it's dark everywhere, except on the stage. And you have servers coming, taking your order, bringing you your drinks. And before that, there's one entryway. There's emergency exits, of course. But there's one way in, and generally one way out. There's a person there checking IDs and taking money. It all makes sense. And there's a bar somewhere. Could be more than one. And, you know, because alcohol is the bloodline of the stand-up comedy industry in these places. It all makes sense. And that's where you can fit hundreds, if not 1,000, whatever people in the case of theaters. That's where all that happens. And it can be executed. And it's generally good for everybody involved. But it... almost every comedy scene with enough comedians densely packed into a given area, in my case, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, there's only so many comedy clubs of various sizes, and then a shit ton of comics of varying degrees of seriousness, experience, people that are earnest about it. Some people are just fucking around, but maybe still funny, maybe worth throwing on a show. You have to create independent comedy shows. And this is the task of replicating what happens so sometimes flawlessly, seamlessly, beautifully at a comedy club, in a non-comedy club. There are some places that are excellent for this, some that are okay, some that should never be done, but you just don't know any better until you do that. You produce it or you're on the show yourself. And some places that should never be tried, and anyone that even thinks about trying a comedy show there should be put on trials for crimes against hilarity. So, and there's standards. You can have standards. If you want a good non-comedy club show, it needs to be done at the right places. If you want to do an open mic, oh, the floor is so low for what needs to be done there. Open mics can happen goddamn anywhere. Houses, coffee shops, bars, mostly bars. But here's my journey of going from open mic show runner, open mic host, to putting on, well, let's say definitely over 100 stand-up comedy shows at non-stand-up comedy conducive venues. It all started, hell, I don't know, let's say 8, 9, 10 years ago at the Moon Bar in Fort Worth, Texas. This is on the right up in the nuts of TCU, Texas Christian University. This was back when there was actually a little bit of a nightlife happening in that neighborhood. They actually had some places to go to. You could walk around. It was like a handful of them, but it was fine. There was enough in an area where you could do that. And the Moon Bar was just a very simple music venue. Great setup. It was a fun goddamn time. This was back in the day when there was nothing Fort Worth besides one comedy club, nothing in Fort Worth, really, for comedy. We had one open mic on a Sunday, and to our advantage, that was the only open mic on a Sunday in all of DFW. Of note, there could have been another one, but people would drive to the Moon Bar. And it was a simple setup. You had an entrance, and immediately you had the bar on your left. In the middle area, you had room for people to stand to watch a band and or sit. There's some tables and some chairs. And then further to your right was the bar. In the back were your restrooms. And there was, I believe, two patios. One to your left, one to the right, in the front. Simple setup. But the place, it was on those music venues, where you just put out some tables and some chairs, and you had a great little setup for a comedy show. And it was a great it was great for open mics. And this guy, Dave Sherrill, ran it. Fun guy. He was definitely a musician of sorts. A big friend with a lot of Fort Worth musicians. And he ran this open mic. And they also, I believe this is before I took it over, once a month they turn it into a comedy competition. And it was great. The owner was on board every time. He'd, I think it was $50. And they get a panel of like three judges. Could be like a Fort Worth musician. I know we had Jack Russell, the Fort Worth artist, also a musician. He's been in some bands. I believe we had Sam Anderson with the Quaker City Nighthawks, former guest of the Breckening podcast, and whoever else we could scrounge up to judge comics for a Sunday night. I believe they got a couple of free drinks too. Not a hard sell. And then Dave moved to Ohio to open up like a kitschy little knick-knack kind of store. We also like drew monsters in the background of art he found at thrift stores. He's got Arrowhead. Arrowhead Dave is his name on Instagram. Look him up. So he moved. He asked me to take it over. And I was like, yeah, sounds good. And he got a $40 bar tab. This is back in the day where you ran an open mic because you had nothing else to do. You wanted an open mic to exist. And the bar was like, hey, we're open. You can do the open mic. We'll pay you an alcohol. And everybody was happy. Now these comics these days, they do it for money. And I don't get it. Why would you subject yourself to something as painful as running an open mic and insult the entire thing for money? Like, the alcohol is what makes it bearable, but I don't know, teach their own. So ran that, and it was a fun Sunday night every time at the Moon Bar. Had some good comics come out, some grand old times. The comedy competitions were swell. And then eventually we found out the Moon Bar was going to close. This was on Christmas night. We were bold enough to do, yes, an open mic on Christmas night. Of course, people go out, and I told comics. Again, we had people come out, and the bartender, before we started, had me come over to the side, and she told me they were going to close up. It's like the last night of operation or the last week. Obviously, the last open mic. So I told the crowd, and, you know, we probably made some good tips that night. And then we decided we needed to move it somewhere else. So a friend of mine, she recommended, I believe she was bartending there at the time, this bar called the Aussie Rabbit. And it's a bar kind of in the Podunky, West Arlington, East Fort Worth, a neighborhood with the reputation of being shitty. And I was like, all right, cool. I got nothing against a shitty neighborhood with a dive bar. And Aussie Rabbit, this is a bar inside, tables and chairs, kind of a long long bar top. And then outside you had a very, very nice little patio. Swanky, you know, had a little things here and there, little decorations. A fire pit used in the colder months. But they had this kind of this gazebo type construction in the back made for the stage. So that's where we're going to do it outside. And I fuck it. You know, it's spring. There's a good chance this will happen, you know, every Sunday night. So even though a train was nearby, it was fine. My buddy Asher, I borrowed his vintage, looked like a 70-something guitar amp. It's an old guitar amp. Definitely vintage looking. That was our PA. And I believe somebody had a microphone and cable at the time. I think it was me. And we made that work. And then the train would come by, interrupt jokes. But it would always seem to... The train had excellent timing. It would always interrupt a punchline. And that would become the punchline. Then everybody have a good laugh. But it was still like a good time. It was just the surroundings were nice. The train wasn't that much of a bother, but it was still a little loud. And the people there were just like, oh, hey, this is something to do. Also, no fucking football was being played. And... I do watch NFL football myself, but it's also nice when you're not competing with that and people will actually have enough of an attention span to watch open mic comedy. But then, as it tends to do, the Earth tilts a little bit further away from the sun, and it gets colder. So we moved inside, and it sucked. It really, really sucked. Outside, weather nice, gazebo, stage, patio, people watching. And then inside, it got colder, football started coming on, and just the inside was just not conducive to any kind of performance. They tried some music in there before. It doesn't work. It's not set up for that. It's set up for people to sit and watch TV and be shitty to people trying to tell jokes. And what sucks is it sucked that it ended that way, because in the future I would try to get shows at this bar Caves, who had the same owner as Ozzy Rabbit. Even though I could never talk to a person like the owner or the general manager in person, like an adult who wants to do things at their bar, this setup at Caves is amazing. Amazingly perfect. Like a four-piece band is cramped on their little stage. Perfect for comedy. Inside, chairs, tables everywhere. Perfectly set up. But one of the reasons that I had to hear through another bartender who I was working with in hopes to get a comedy show going there, was that the Ozzy Rabbit open mic kind of sucked at the end. And I'm like, yeah, at the end, when it was cold and nobody wanted it inside, you know, where there's no lights, there's just someone talking in the microphone at the front of the bar and everybody's mad that it's happening. I'm like, do you remember the beginning when it was outside in the back and it was fun? It was a great time. Yeah, that's what I want to replicate, because we made a stage of sorts happen in the gazebo. And that's what I also want to happen inside Caves, with the stage and the PA system and the lights, and it's not like I didn't know what the fuck I was trying to do. But anyways, so Ozzy Rabbit died a cold, slow death. But thankfully at that time, same bartender friend, her name's Jamie, we parlayed it. That's not the right word. We moved the open mic to the Grotto. And this was really solid for a while. It was back in Fort Worth, even though we're kind of like in the very, very east Fort Worth. We went back in Fort Worth near the Botanical Gardens, the West 7th Douchebag Bar Central District. But the Grotto was a little cool nugget of paradise in that area. It was a small little venue, small little music venue. Patio in the front and sort of around to the side. But, like, say if you're there and you're watching a show and you weren't too interested, there's, like, some kind of free thing, whatever, you're there. They also had, like, a back area of the bar. This was back when you could smoke in bars, too. Oh, it was fucking sweet. And they had, like, a back area with the pool table, I think some foosball, like, eventually a golden tea. But just, like, a back area. And they also had, like, on busier nights, that bar in the back area open as well. So you had options. So, you know, they didn't do anything on a Sunday night. So, of course, stand-up comedy comes a creeping around. And that's what we did. You know, we had a full-on music venue stage, but it wasn't big. Stage was like a foot and a half high, easy to hop on. And they just turned on, didn't need a sound guy, just turned on the PA, just the levels, you're good to go. And again, I'm at the third location of this open mic. I rarely, if ever, needed to light somebody. My selling point was, hey, come to this open mic, and you can do as much time as you want. If there's people waiting to go up, you can go up again later. I don't give a shit. They're paying me $40 and free beer. I was mostly drinking beer at that time. And it was great. I just wanted to get people there. Maybe they buy some drinks. And but then things at the Grotto, as fun at times as they were and as shitty as I did at this one comic, his severe mental issues. Don't see him around these days. I think I did see him the other day. Wearing a hood, wearing a real Unabomber kind of thing. I won't say his name. But he's wearing sunglasses and had his hood on at night inside. Yeah, he creeps everybody out. But he was yelling at a down-of-town comic. And I had to tell him that he wasn't going up that night. I had to punish him in front of everybody. It was sad. But then what started happening at the Grotto is that I would show up there sometimes, and I had like a mic stand for the comedy show. All they had were like the tripod mics for bands. I'd show up there with that and my notepad for the list for comics to sign up. And every once in a while I'd walk in there and there was like a band setting up on stage. And I'm like, this is the time of everybody's got a cell phone, you know, texting's free. If you don't have someone's number, you can message them on Facebook. That's free too. And I would go, I'd drive, you know, 30 minutes west, walk in, there's a band either already playing or on stage. And I'd look at the bartender and I'm just like, I gesture in the nonverbal what the fuck kind of way. And he would do the same back. And I'm just like, thanks for telling me. And he was just like, hey, nobody told me either. And I'm just like, son of a bitch. So I go on Facebook, tell comics, hey, don't head this way. Thank God I got there early, too. Because I'm an early bird sometimes. And so that just kind of got fucking annoying. It's kind of annoying when you have a standing weekly thing. It's happening every Sunday unless you tell me it's not. And that's fine. Just tell me ahead of time. Tell me. I don't know. It'd be nice to tell me as soon as fucking possible, but for some people that was way too goddamn hard. So, but, you know, tell me, I don't know, 2 hours before I need to leave. That way everybody knows they shouldn't leave and head Fort Worth bound. But Jesus Christ. And then that's where I kind of just, I grew the fuck over running an open mic. But I did it solidly for 3 years. And, you know, it was fun. I was trying to give Fort Worth something to come see. Creating more practice stage time for comics, you know, just doing what so many comics have done. You know, we're not all pros, we're not, very few of us are making a living from this, so, but we like to do it, and whoever wants to pay attention, we'll try to make you laugh, and you go where you can. And then I eventually segued to shows. But first at, and what happened to be, it was the owner of Sunshine, Damon Shear. His wife worked at Outback in Irving with Buddy Anthony, some Irving folk. That's where I first met him. And he owns Sunshine, the old Sunshine Bar in Arlington. Been around for God knows how long, like 40 years. And it was him, I think it was his wife, Jen, who recommended, hey, let's do a, you should do a comedy show at Sunshine. I believe it was on April 1st. It was like, yeah, April Fools, just do that. But it happened to be, I think it was a Sunday, could have been a weekday, I don't remember. And he got his dipshit friend to like set up a literally goddamn a desktop computer with a monitor, and I there's probably other equipment there, and he wanted to do walk-up music. This isn't a big bar. It is a small bar, but it kind of worked. Like, there's like a couple of different sections. There's like a bigger section with two pool tables. They moved that out of the way when they had bands there. And then there's a bar top that people can like sit down in, these kind of comfortable chairs. Then there's a section right in front of the bar with like, I think like two or four tables. People can sit down there in the jukebox there. And there's another section towards the rear entrance, like some higher tables. You can sit. So it's got like little multiple sections. And I wedged the show. Everyone's like, where should it be? I was like, I think it should be here in the corner. Because there's like a corner where a foosball table usually is. And if you just move the foosball table, you're in front of like some mirrors. One of the mirrors has long been broken with a bullet hole. Was fired in there, I don't know, a long time ago. It's neighborhood somewhat safe. And so I was like, well, this is where the stage, quote-unquote, is, because everyone can just look in this direction from anywhere they're sitting, and they have a good vantage point. And so I was adamant that that's where the stage was. And then the owner's dipshit friend was trying to set up all this. And apparently his hard drive crashed or something like that. And I was like, do the speakers work? Can we talk into a microphone? Like, yeah. I'm like, that's all we need. That is all we need. This place, we're not going to be walking in from the front. We don't need entrance music. This isn't a fucking wrestling show. Let's just do comedy. And we did have my buddy. All I remember from that looking up the flyer, is my buddy Clint Worth, me, his dirty soul, rest in peace. I had him headline. And he's a character unto himself. But then I realized this could actually work. Minus the dipshits. He was a dipshit. Nobody really liked him. Minus his, you know, theatrics of walk-up music. I'm like, no, we just need a PA system. Just that. Slightly arrange some chairs. I don't know. Just face them towards the stage. Put up a flyer. Let people know this is happening. And then I was like, and if I can get like a Friday or Saturday night, that's almost like a built-in crowd. This is also when you can still smoke inside. So people highly frequented this tiny little shit dive bar in Arlington, Texas. And so I was like, hey, this seems like a good idea. And he rolled with it. Damon rolled with it. And he gave me a monthly Saturday night show. And I had my buddy piece together a flyer. And they're kind of fun. I did them monthly for 3 years. And I also did like a couple of like special shows here and there. The last show I think ever was there was like on a Tuesday night with some comics out of Chicago or something like that. But they're mostly okay. Some really good. Mostly, and a couple real shit shows. I eventually grew to resent that place. I still do. I still resent it. I'll still pop in, though. One of the fucking bartenders, she heckled me. And my dad came to the show, too. He just, you know, guess needs something to do on a Saturday night. Bowling league wasn't happening. And she heckled me. One, if she was the day bartender, so she's still there, which means she's hammered drunk. And to this fucking day, she apologizes. And I told her, okay, first of all, if you keep apologizing for something I've said it's okay to, then now every apology for the exact same thing now seems insincere, and you devalue it every time you apologize. And I'm like, all right, if you really want to make amends, come to one of my real comedy shows. And she's like, I don't go anywhere, really. I'm like, well, no shit. So never mind. We're back to square one. You're a heckling cunt. And you made me feel bad in front of my dad. Anyways, the most infamous show was I had Mo Alexander there. That was his only time there. I had him a couple other times. He was doing a show. And I've explained this so many times, I rarely want to go back through it. Basically, so at the beginning of the show, these people, if anybody was there at Sunshine when I got there to set up, I hope that there was like some kind of turnover, because I don't know how they've been drinking some, and the sun was like almost gone. So I think the show started at 10 or 9. And I wanted everyone to kind of be out so people could show up for the show and then start their drinking. I didn't want them to have already been drinking and then keep drinking, because that just meant they're going to be the worst possible fucking audience members. So these people were there. They're like, what are you setting up? And I was just like, I was an idiot first. I'm like, oh, it's a comedy show. And I was like, fuck, don't sell it. No. It was too late. They were into it. They stayed, kept drinking. And I want to say someone in this party, there's like 4 or 5 people there. Somebody knew the owner. And then, so they're there, and they're kind of chirping up during the show. They stayed, as much to my chagrin. And then at some point, like during the headliner, Mo Alexander, he's sitting on a stool, just doing his thing. Great comic, great guy. These two guys come in from the other side of the bar as the one table sitting at. And I think that guy's like chirping. These guys automatically are like, we don't like that guy. And at one point during Mo's set, I hear one of the guys go, we got your back, Mo. And I was like, oh, these guys really like Mo. Oh, no. What they meant is we got your back means we will fight this guy for you. And they did. They ran across the stage. There's this big metal fan. We turned it off just because, you know, for sound purposes. We turned it off during the show. But there's a metal fan on this countertop next to, like, two steps. And one guy went down the two steps. And the other guy jumped over the countertop but also picked up the metal fan to throw it at that guy. So they all get into it. Those guys take off out the rear. Who knows where they ran to. And this guy, the original guy, got it been there when I started setting up. He's a bit of a redneck. At this point, he's shirtless and wielding a knife in the parking lot, yelling, looking for those guys. Thank God that, like, the owner was there and the bartender was there. The cops got called. The cops didn't come to the bar. They just talked to the cops in the parking lot. And meanwhile, Mo's is still going the entire time. So, like, you sum that up with a fan threw a fan at a fan. And, but that was also like, that was the first moment where I was like, maybe this should be happening. But around that time, I also started doing shows at Dr. Jekyll's, which is Dr. Jekyll's Beer Lab, which used to be a place where you could buy your beer brewing equipment. But also here they sold just beer, lots of different types of beers from all over the place, mostly like breweries in DFW. And I walked in there one day because I heard about it, some buddies that went there. And I'm like, I'm going to check this place out. They had a music open mic going on. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to be that sneaky comic. I'm going to go to this music open mic. I'm going to be like, hey, I'm a stand-up comic. Do you love comedy on your stage? And for the most part, people are like, oh, that is awesome. Yeah, you can definitely go up. And music open mics, they take fucking forever. So you can get like 10 minutes easy doing comedy at a music open mic. So I went there just to scout it out to see if it might be good for shows. And I was like, all right, I deemed it worthy. And I was like, wrote my name on there. And then the host came up to me. He's like, hey, the guy that's supposed to go up next got to fix a string. Do you want to go ahead and go? Give him time to fix a string. So I went up there, slightly like older-ish crowd, but still fun. And then I went outside, smoked a cigarette. And then this girl or woman, definitely woman, older-ish hippie lady, Mary, she came out and she struck up a conversation about doing shows. And I was like, well, that's what I came here for. So we did some shows there. I want to say a little under a year. They were fine. It's a place where they, even though they have a stage, they don't have bands too much. They had a wooden railing around their stage for some reason. I don't know if it was like an OSHA thing or it doesn't make any sense. But they were fine. And then eventually I kind of just gave up on that. I gave up on that around the same time I gave up on Sunshine because I had gotten wind in the Fort Worth area that there was a music venue opening up. And some people there, like, they knew that I ran a show at Sunshine and maybe the Jekyll's one. So I'd put up flyers in this little hipster neighborhood in Fort Worth. It was Main at Southside, Mass. And that's what it was called. That's what they went with. And they wanted comedy there. And it was like a good music venue. Kind of a definitely high ceilings. But this is a former like dance hall place. High ceilings, perfectly built for like a music venue. Walk in, stages to your left, tables and chairs or not for the audience. Bathroom, sound booth to your right, bar straight in front of you. At first, they had a pool table area, but then a record store moved in. Dreamy Life. So, cool setup. Great concept. And my buddy Alex Gaskin, I was texting with him about what the show should be called. And I've paid many drinks to him, for him, for coming up with the name Laugh Your Mass Off, which was just too fucking perfect. And that was the greatest run. That was the greatest run of shows I've had. Did about, let's see, 55 shows there. That's what I've been telling people. That sounds right. It started, what did we start, about 2018, something like that. Obviously, huge pause button in 2020, 2021. Still did a few more, and we wrapped it up in the last show there was April 2022, where before I get to the last show, it was great. The second headliner I had at Mass, where we did Sunday or Wednesday shows, was Sam Talent, great fucking dude. Which was okay. Bringing him up, I did like a couple of actual shows at the Grotto, going back there. And I had Sam Talent come through, this comic, Tobias Livingston out of Denver. Him, he's going on tour with Jordan Dahl, Sam Talent, and one other guy. I feel bad for missing. But those three guys are great. Tobias, bit of an odd dude. So I book it, and I'm like, cool, these comics out of Denver. I'll host. and I don't have room for any locals, but all right, cool. I'll put some flyers up. I'll tell people about it. I'll promote it here. I'll tell them this is what I can do. Let them know. Kind of new at the show promoting thing. And so the show goes on, and fucking terrible turnout. I think two people came and paid the, I don't know, $7 cover I was charging. I fucking tried, man. And so I'm just pissed and ashamed. And so I just start drinking. And I just get drunker as I'm hosting this show. At some point, I want to say either before or after the show, I wish I had a bigger pair of balls on me at the time and I could confront the situation exactly when I heard it. But I overheard the comics all talk about a house show they had done earlier in the day, that day, in Fort Worth, the same city that the show at the venue that I booked and promoted was also in. And I was like, it's always confounded me. Like, why the fuck would you cannibalize your own goddamn show? Like, all I could think of is like, oh, we have a friend in an iron lung. So if that was the case, cool. That's fine. Also, could you not have invited me? That would have been nice. But maybe if you did, I would have, you know, maybe, you know, asked that obvious question at that house show of like, hey, why did you do this? Or, hey, is everyone at this coming to the show that I put on for you? So that's always fucking pissed me off. And I'm surprised I remember that. I was originally meant to remember this, but I guess I glossed over it till I mentioned Sam Talent. Anyway, but Sam's great. That's why he's my second headliner at Mass. And just Mass, I met a lot of great road touring comics. You say road. Road is such a derogatory term these days. Oh, he's a road comic. So it's like, well, all comics get on the road. Touring sounds nicer. It means I met a lot of out-of-town comics who had the fucking gumption and the balls to go on the road and take their shit on the road and meet people like me across the country that would book them, especially on a more off night, not your sweeter Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights. And met some great comics that way. Eventually, so my buddy JT Habersat, who I had booked at the Grotto and Sunshine, and now I was like, hey, I got a better place for you at Mass. So he come through. And then eventually, after him and Eddie Pepitone became the hot touring item, I had them twice at Mass. Those are crowning achievements. Those are great. Also had Dave Stone there. Fucking rad dude. Supposed to have them there in December, but they closed. So anyways, I charged the cover like five times for shows at Mass. The rest of them were, hey, pay what you can after the show. Come get your laughs on. Come get your drink on. Then give us some cash in this tip jar. And the venue chipped in money too, so I could guarantee everything. But then Mass closed September 2022. Just couldn't really fully recover from COVID, plus just mismanagement, I guess. I don't know. There's rumors. There's facts. I don't care. The second to last show there, we had Ariel Isaac Norman, amazing fucking comic out of Austin. And Ariel, I had booked Ariel probably four times at Mass by then. That was the fourth time. And I partnered up with the Liberty Lounge. And we did like an after party there, marketed heavily there to the LGBT community. And it was a great turnout. And Ariel even fucking shocks her there. I'm not sure of her pronouns, but Ariel fucking shocks all crowds of all walks of life. It's a thing of goddamn beauty. And then we had an after party at Liberty Lounge. And it was a great time. And then 2 weeks later, what ended up being the last show ever at Mass. A Wednesday, exactly 2 weeks later, absolutely zero people showed up. I had Brad Galley and Katie Bowman out of Denver, which they had been to a show at Mass before, and it was a lot of fun. People came out. It's always great when people come out. And nobody came out. Absolutely no one. I marketed just like I didn't have an after party at Liberty like I did, but also, you know, that makes sense to do the same kind of marketing, especially when Ariel has that community, you know, on lockdown. And nobody even accidentally walked in. Nobody accidentally opened the door to be like, oh, is anything happening tonight? I saw the open sign was open. Now I think about it, I'm pretty sure the open sign was on. Either way, it doesn't matter because I put up my flyers. I sent out my invites and absolutely nobody came. And Fort Worth essentially told me to go fuck myself. And so that was a sour tasting night. But everybody got paid, so I made everyone do the show. I'm just like, this is going to be a shitty open mic. All of you go do your allotted time, but you're all getting paid, and you all get your drink tickets as well. And we didn't have drink tickets. I just told bartender who the comics were. And God damn it, we did it. And then they closed. I got word September 2022. I got word. I had one more show there scheduled in December, which was with Dave Stone, which I got that moved. Ended up being a great show after we moved it. But also during this time, I did a Dr. Jekyll's round two, which had new owners, a different stage. At first, it was the same stage. Dr. Jekyll's, you walk in, and the stage is immediately to your left. But this time, they didn't have the wooden railing, which was great. And there was, like, tables and chairs. You could turn off some lights to kind of get light. There was no spotlights, but to kind of get the lights more towards the stage area. And there was, like, a back kind of area, and the bar is in the middle. And so it worked. But the new owner, John, he was telling me about building a stage kind of in the back area. So Dr. Jekyll's basically, you know, it's split in the middle by the bar. And you have the tables and chairs, the first stage. Now that just has couches on it. And it's kind of like it looks like a weird hipster VIP area. That's what they should do with that. But the other side in the back, you had still tables and chairs. But you could also move all that because they actually had a stage. And it was pretty rad. You can only get so many people seated down. But here's the problem. At comedy clubs, they sit you down, and that's where you have to sit. It's like a restaurant, there's no, can we get a booth? Like, no, they seat you because that's where, and it's, you have to sit at the front, and then they fill in behind that. At a show like this, you really don't have that advantage. You can ask people to move up. But if you have like a table with like 4 to 6 chairs and 2 people sit at it, no one, it's a rare chance anyone else is going to also sit at that. Because God forbid you sit next to a stranger, which we know never happens in your day-to-day life. I don't want to sit next to the stranger where the lights, we had spotlights. We could turn the lights off. We had spotlights. Like, I don't want to sit next to a stranger in the dark and drink alcohol. That never happens anywhere these days, ever. And so a lot of people just sit where they wanted. If I could. And so there'd be plenty of blank chairs, and you just couldn't force people to fill it all up, because if they did, it just makes like the laughter comes together, it congeals more, and it booms just a little bit more, and then you're just a little bit more close to replicating what happens at a comedy club, not at a comedy club. And then it's like, oh, I did it, and I didn't try to charge a cover. Same concept. I asked for tips afterwards, which, you know, it sucks, but also it gets people there, and you know, hopefully they have some cash on them. If not, it's like, look at my QR code, bitch. Give me that venue. Give me that Cash App. And that's all you're trying to do is just, in some places, they're so good at one aspect of it and, you know, falls short on here and there. The latest example, again, I do, you know, I'll do comedy wherever it makes sense. The latest example, I did one at Lola's in Fort Worth, which is at the location of where a second iteration of the Moon Bar was, not the original location, down the street. Of course, you all know what I'm talking about. So it's a bar inside, and we moved some tables and chairs up. But then again, you can't force people to sit closer to stage, but it makes everything better. The comedy show's better if you have people closer to the stage. So, whatever. You can't force people to sit where they don't want to sit. We had like at least 10 to 12 chairs right up front to the stage, and two people sat, and most people sat around the bar. Plenty of more people were sitting in tables and chairs in the back. But then, so the host goes up, buddy Ian, who thanks for, I was headlining the show and I appreciate him booking me for it. And what sucked is, so in the back, the house music was still playing, and I asked the bartender if he could turn off the house music, and he just, I don't know, he seemed annoyed that I, God forbid, I asked to do something that might help, you know, the show and the audience and listen to the show. And so that was the first thing. It was also a super windy night. There was these storms coming in from the west, and shit was windy as fuck. And they had, there's like a garage door opening next to the, you know, around the bar. And there's, you can sit four people there, at, which I count. There are four people sitting at the bar. So if those people, fuck them. They needed to come in and watch the show because the angle of the stage, you could barely see. The audio is bad from there. Also, it was super goddamn windy. I wish they would have closed the garage door. Because even talking to a buddy that was inside, we were talking about how windy it was. And during our conversation, two things fell down inside the bar. Because that's it was this gust of wind just came and knocked two things down. So they should maybe close that down and make those assholes come inside and watch the show. And then at the very, very back, first of all, there was some parents there with their two kids. One that was still in a stroller. I don't know what the fuck they were doing at a music venue bar on a Sunday night, no less. This was after 9 p.m. So they were there. Luckily, the kids weren't the distraction. I was more mad. You know, kids can be a distraction plenty of times at plenty of places. But I was more mad that the parents were there. And because at one point, because, you know, it's like, oh, the kids are going to be loud at any moment. But they weren't. But at one point, though, during one of the first or second comics, the parents were in the back playing goddamn pinball with the kids. I'm like, can you not see that someone's on stage talking to a microphone trying to elicit laughter from strangers? And you're playing fucking pinball? And luckily, that didn't last too long. And then at some point, I thought, and then later on in the show, I thought that the house music came back on. But no. It wasn't the house music. It was the other pinball machine, the Led Zeppelin pinball machine. I just hear a whole lot of love out of nowhere, and I'm like, why is the house music? I look, I was like, fuck. And I didn't want to be, I'm just on the show. I didn't produce the show. I wanted to fucking turn off the pinball machines. But there's all these little things you can do. Sometimes, I don't know, bars are against it. Like, the first time I did shows at Dr. Jekyll's, they had these little tiny landing strip lights, track lighting, that's it. Sorry, I'm not a contractor by any means, in front of the dartboards. And so one of them, though it's kind of close to the stage, I turned towards the stage. And then, you know, we turned off all the lights that made sense. This is back when it had the wooden railing. So I'm just like, I'll just turn these little track lights over to the stage. It'll slightly help. And then one day, one show, I forgot to turn them back. My bad. Totally my bad. I'll take responsibility for that. That's cool. I mean, there's a little, I'm tall. I can reach them. You know, someone else might have to get on a stool to put them back. And those bitches were hot, too. So you need to get some fucking cocktail napkins, turn them back. The next show, I go, and then the bartender, who apparently nobody liked, got on my case about doing that. And I was like, oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I didn't turn them back. That's totally on me. I'll absolutely do that. Then she just straight up says, like, well, no, if you could just not touch the lights at all. I'm like, oh, God forbid. I do anything to make this show slightly better. Because I have everything working against me. You know, there's a goddamn cowbell on the front door that, people walk in, comics on stage, stage is right there, like a foot from the front door, like they're walking into a fucking gas station. No, it was a cowbell, so it's even more pronounced than that. Jesus. And it's just like you try to do all the little things you can. Like Sunshine, we had a light, I think eventually, we called it the, not the salamander, It was basically a red light. We called it hell, pretty much, because it was sometimes just a hell gig. But Jesus, just the little things you try to do. You try to make it work. And some places were great. Oh, and how could I forget? Sorry, looking at my notes here. During early years of Mass, I did a show at a brewery, New Main Brewing, Pantego Landmark. Folded up shop February 2020. They had a shitty landlord, and even if they were somehow were able to survive their landlord screwing them over just to get improvements on the building, COVID was coming right around the corner. But those guys were great. Some breweries, they don't know what they're doing when it comes to comedy. I see pictures of comics like on like a pallet made, a stage made of pallets, you know, in front of the vats, and I'm like, I'm no audiologist, I'm no sound guy, but the acoustics there fucking suck. I can just tell from the picture. That's why they don't show the picture of the crowd, just the picture of the comics on stage, so you can pretend it was a good show. But some breweries, they actually have like a performance-y kind of area, and everything goes fine. New Main Brewing, it was in what was an old gymnastic studio, but they actually had this small little area in the middle. They had all the room for all the bats and everything, and you know all the cornholing and tables and chairs you need. But in the middle, this like own little, it was its own little room with doors, and it was just had couches and it had sofas and love seats and some higher tables and chairs, and it was just a great little setup for a comedy show. And they had a stage built, a mobile stage, because they can move that around for like different band stuff, and that was really great too. David, the owner, was really receptive, and I told him what I did at Mass. He came to a show there, loved it, and he was like, I'd love to do the same thing at the brewery. So I had a good run there, I think, for about a year and a half. Had some really cool comics there. Dante Powell was there. That was a really fun show. And so I do shows. That way I could do a show on a Friday or Saturday. And that was really great. And what sucks about all this is sometimes you get in trouble. Like, you do this to create... the reason you create these shows is to create more stage time in a comedy scene for you and your friends. And if, depending on how serious of the show it is, other comics coming through, because maybe, a club's not receptive, or they don't know anyone else, or they want to come through and do time in this part of the country. And that's why you do this, because, clubs, probably already have the people booked for the weekend or whatever show. And this is why you do it, to create more stage time. Because, every comedy, you always need more stage time. And hopefully it's at the right place, you can get the right kind of crowd there. That's all we're trying to do. I got in trouble with the show at Mass one time. All I did, I did shows there Wednesday or Sunday. Because it's a music venue, and Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are mostly for music. And so I had a Wednesday show, and it was like one of the rare times, if like the only time I had a local, again, another derogatory, road and locals, just comics from the area. I had two buddies. One was going to headline, one was going to feature. And then the show was announced for like a few weeks. And then about like 2 weeks before, I asked everybody involved, I'm like, hey, how about we move it from a Wednesday to a Thursday? And everyone's like, yeah, cool. Maybe I can get five more people to come out if it's on a Thursday instead of a Wednesday. They don't have anything going on Thursday, so I'm not, they're not moving bands around. And there's a comedy club up the road from Mass, and they deem Thursday, Friday, and Saturday their nights to do comedy in the great city of Fort Worth. Well, on this very particular night, there was no comedy. They did not have a Thursday show. They had a private show, which actually had a musician. Ironically enough, there was comedy at a music venue down the road, and the other way down the road at the comedy club was no comedy, but a musician. No competition. And I was never trying to compete with the comedy club. How would I do that? Doing one or two shows a month on a Wednesday or Sunday on nights they're not even open? So the competition thing didn't make sense. But that day, the day of the show, the moved show to Thursday, a half-minded, the guy had half a brain. Only half of his mind had formed. And he was a burnout of a skeleton of a human being. His name's Butch Lord, total piece of shit. And so he's just the lackey of the club. And he contacted my friends, the headliner and the feature, and said, if you do Brian's show, you'll no longer work at the club. And why would I do that to my friends? Why would I make them do my show once over X amount of future shows at a comedy club? Like, that, it makes no goddamn sense. Also, on that night, again, no comedy was at the comedy club. It was music, and at the music venue was just comedy. So if anything, I was upholding the standard of having comedy in the great city of Fort Worth on a Thursday. I get no thanks for that. But and so I had to scramble. It took me like 20 minutes to find a new headliner, a new feature, told them what had happened. I call my friends pussies, but I get it. I'm not trying to jeopardize their future comedy opportunities. And these guys still regularly work that club. So they, you know, that's fine. I hold nothing against them. They were going to do the show up until the moment they realized there was consequences. Because there's an unwritten rule that I had broke. And that's the great thing about unwritten rules, is they can just come out of your asshole and be guided by your emotions. So that's fun. And it took fucking weeks for me to eventually run into Butch Lord. Because I don't want his phone number. I don't want to have to go out of my way. I talked to him on the patio of this bar open mic. And I had to, like, really dig into his head. Just kind of like, do you see where I'm coming from? Of, I don't want to screw over my friends on this particular night. Yada, yada. All the things I've already said. And I think he eventually saw things my way. But it still didn't matter. Damage done. I didn't know I was breaking a rule, because, you know, that's how unwritten rules work. You don't know it until somebody, what is the term, ex post facto, says you broke a unwritten rule. So that's fun. And so, yeah, so comedy can get you in trouble. People can also get mad that you don't book them or you don't think they're funny. I don't know. In that case, I just give people guest spots, and if they fucking suck shit, then, you know, that's their punishment, is sucking in front of a crowd. And then you're just like, yeah, here's your next comic. So that, again, just trying to do things out of the goodness of your cold, blackened, tobacco-stained heart, you're just, you know, people will fucking give you shit. And I don't know. And then trying to get people to come to a show is just its own personal hell. I resent most of these fuckers in Arlington and Fort Worth. And I don't like that. I don't like that mindset. But I've asked them so many times to just give me like 2 hours of their time. And these people will do everything except come to a show. They'll talk to you about comedy. They'll ask you your favorite comedy is. They'll ask you to tell them a joke. And you'll do everything you can not to say, go fuck yourself, go jump up your ass. And you just want them to come. You want the amount of resentment and hatred involved in trying to bring laughter to people is a paradox that it confounds me. Oh, I've already said confounded once. It's perplexing. It really is. I'll never understand it. But you just want to make people laugh. And these are people you're like, oh, I know these people. And they're my demographic. I know it. I've made them laugh in conversation. I've made jokes around them. Can you come see me do it in a way where I can make different kinds of jokes in like a monologue-y kind of format where you don't say anything, but I can build up? That's what's great about stand-up comedy. You're making jokes, but since you're the only one talking, you can build up narratives and, you know, callbacks, and You don't have to wait for other people to stop talking because you're just given the floor for X amount of time. And it's a thing of beauty. And it really fucking sucks just to get to that point of being on stage to do the thing you want to do. And especially if you're the guy involved in trying to make it happen outside of the places where it's best for it to happen. Oh, God. I don't miss it. I miss the good times. I miss when the nervous chain smoking in the patio in front and hoping for cars to drive up actually worked out. And people, you know, oh, this car has 3 people in it. Yeah, this car has 4. Oh, this car only has 2. But hey, I know those guys. This is great. All right. Hey, you're here for the show, right? And it's like, of course they are. That's the only thing happening. And it fills up and you go up. And, you know, you get laughs, so you're like, okay, like a few minutes into your set, you're like, okay, this is going to be a good crowd. And then all the comics are seeing that. And it's a fucking thing of beauty. But when literally nobody shows up, you want to burn down an entire city. When a fan throws a fan at a fan, you kind of think, maybe the element in this bar is kind of shitty. When a drunk off-duty bartender heckles you, That's and then she keeps apologizing so much to where it means nothing to you anymore, and that sucks too. And then when a bartender complains you didn't move track lighting back, God forbid, and you apologize, and then every show thereafter becomes awkward. It's just like the things you're just trying to create laughter. You're trying to make the best show possible, but you get resistance all the way through. And also the fact that I haven't been able to do a comedy show at Caves. That's one thing that'll always stick in my goddamn craw. What the fuck is wrong with you guys? Oh God. And I've talked to bartenders there. They're not very recipient to suggestions that would be good and conducive and overall positive for the whole bar. But anyways, I got to wrap this up. This was well over the 30 minutes I planned. But if you listen to this, God damn it, you're a trooper. And hopefully go into a comedy show at a place that's not a comedy club is not as much as a task for you, especially if you listen to this. So I'm going to give you one of these. Oh, sorry, that's the horn jazz. Here we go. You get an applause. I'm going to hold that down a little bit more. You deserve it. You all deserve it. If you listen to this, if you've supported stand-up comedy in any way, turn that off now. This is Brian Breckenridge signing off for another episode of a solo Breckening podcast. I will have stickers for this soon. I'll do more shows, and I'll get guests. I'll go out and get a guest. All right. I'll get more than one. But only one at a time, because I only have 2 microphones. All right, guys. Thank you much. See you next time.